Missed an episode of your favorite podcast? Choose from over a decade of content in our archives. Not just the latest episode. All free at GCNlive.com.
Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
So this is our first episode of 2015. Some people never believed the Paracast would last that long. Some suggested after 2006 we had shot our wad and it was time to leave. But we're still here, completing 9 years in February, looking forth to the 10th anniversary show in February of 2016. And maybe we'll bring back some figures who had been with us before and had gone away. We'll see. It is interesting, though, that in this holiday season, as it ends, two members of our forums who maybe had a bad experience with us or got banned because of their behavior, whatever, came back. I got an apology from somebody who was really attacking us 3 or 4 years ago and now says, hey, let bygones be bygones. Is that a New Year's resolution or what? What do you think, Chris?
Well, I'm not sure, Gene. It's good to know that people are still interested in tuning in to our forums and to the show. That's always a good sign. I think our audience is increasing by leaps and bounds. And, boy, I'll tell you, we sure have some smart folks on the forums. They're actually kind of, I think, intimidating people. I got an email from one of our longtime posters that was saying, you know, this has really turned into an intellectual, you know, almost an intellectual boxing match online. And I think some people are a little bit intimidated by that. Boy, I know I am in some of the threads. I don't know how to add my two cents in there without seeming trite or, I don't know, just pretty jaw-droppingly impressive some of the, you know, the quality and depth of insight that I'm seeing on the forums. There's some pretty heady conversations on there, but it doesn't mean that all the conversations have to be conducted by PhD-level arguments. I think there's plenty of room for everyone, and we'll make sure that we try to include everyone in our, you know, posts on the forum and some of the subject matters that we handle. And I'm also looking forward in the new year, Gene, to the Paracast Plus taking off and adding more features onto our new extra subscription service that we're going to be having at the forum. And it's going to be fun developing that, working in some video, some field reports, some more lengthy interviews with interesting folks about interesting topics. And it's going to be fun, I think. I'm looking forward to the new year.
Let me tell you what we have right now for the Paracast Plus. If you go to plus.theparacast.com, plus.theparacast.com, you can get an ad-free version of the Paracast with a higher resolution audio file, so it sounds better. This is especially helpful when we get those marginal connections with some of our guests. They're on a bad cell phone. They don't have any other connection. We really want to hear from them. But sometimes you have to listen a little more carefully, and we think the higher resolution quality takes care of that. Those who complained about the ads, that's the solution. We have a fledgling chat room that we might do something with. We're still working that out. We also have the exclusive After the Paracast podcast. And we were getting a couple of messages about those shows, a couple of messages which suggest that some people like those short, brief discussions more than they might have liked a particular episode of the Paracast. That's After the Paracast. And that's what you get now when you subscribe. It's $5 a month, $50 a year. And we're going to be announcing more stuff in 2015, as Chris mentioned on last week's episode of After the Paracast, maybe a way to learn how to investigate UFO sightings and maybe a contest to see who produces the best fake. But you have to listen to the previous week's edition of After the Paracast for all the details. So we'll keep that as the cliffhanger. There you go. In the meantime, there's an online movement now, yet again, to get 100,000 people to sign a petition with the Office of the President of the United States demanding disclosure about UFOs. Now, Chris, do you know the definition of pipe dream?
Yes, I do. Actually, it stems from some of the opium dens in China, I believe. But in terms of this particular application, I do, as I've said all along for many years, that the government is never going to, this government, the American government, is never going to come forward and divulge the full extent of their knowledge about the UFO phenomenon. We've also discussed many times at length the possibility that the government isn't even involved directly with managing the secret, if you will. It may be completely in the hands of the military-industrial complex and the aerospace companies and in some of our super high-tech corporations. It just seems to me that it would be out of the reach of any sort of disclosure movement if you kept it in the private sector, and that makes the most sense to me.
It gives the government plausible deniability. We have no evidence that UFOs represent a threat to national security. We have no evidence that UFOs are extraterrestrial. But if all that evidence is funneled into private industry, they can say they don't have the evidence because they gave it to somebody.
I wouldn't be holding my breath. These efforts, you know, although well-intentioned and well-meaning, I think are just an exercise in frustration because, as we all know, it's a third rail subject. It is not political in nature. It's not politically expedient, I should say, to attach yourself to any sort of paranormal subject. Look at the case of Senator Harrison Schmitt in 1979, attempted to put together a conference on the cattle mutilation phenomenon. And that was used against him when he tried to run for re-election, and he was defeated. And one of the things that was used against him politically was the fact that he had embraced such a woo-woo subject, and that was used as part of an effective campaign to defeat him in the following election.
Now, maybe it was not connected, but the congressman, I think it was Congressman Rausch, who originally was one of the prime movers behind the 1968 congressional hearings on UFOs, he was defeated in the next election and then went on to serve on the Board of Governors of the National Investigations Committee on Aerial Phenomena, NICAP, in its final years. So let that be a lesson to politicians. If you express too much of an interest in UFOs, well, it may hurt your political career. I don't know about Senator Barry Goldwater, because for years he tried to get more information on the subject. And Senator Goldwater, who had a high rank in the military, he never got what he wanted.
No, he didn't. And look at the allegation, or the revelation, I should say, that Shirley MacLaine made about Dennis Kucinich and how that particular UFO-tinged element came back to bite him during the election debates.
As soon as that was admitted, he was history. That's it.
Yeah.
Now, we're going to talk about history, as a matter of fact, today, and it's kind of a history that's very unpleasant. And it's all about a book we have here from Dr. Benjamin E. Zeller, and the book is called Heaven's Gate, America's UFO Religion. Now, this is not necessarily an indictment of the UFO field. It's about one singular cult that really caused trouble before they were involved in committing suicide. I mean, this was a pretty crazy thing. You wonder how anybody can be influenced to just end it all. Chris, you had some peripheral involvement with these people, didn't you?
Yeah, I did. I just happened to be in the right place at the right time.
How do you call it right place?
Well, maybe the wrong place. I'm not sure. But I was speaking at the Eureka Springs Conference in 1996, and that first I believe it was Friday night, early Saturday morning, actually, just as the conference was getting rolling in the morning, I was in the hospitality suite in this group of 12 people, all looking like someone very distinct, like a doctor, a construction worker, an athlete, a housewife. This group of 12 people walked in and announcing that the sheep have returned. And it turns out that the Heaven's Gate cult, after being underground for, I think, about 18 years at that point, had come out publicly the night before in Fort Smith, Arkansas, and had showed up at the conference.
Let's cover that.
Yeah.
The book is called Heaven's Gate. The guest coming up, Dr. Benjamin Zeller. with Gene and with Chris. You're in
the Paracast.
So here's what happened. I was placing an order online. The site went down. It took hours before it returned, but I'd already placed the order with another company. If your site goes down, you could lose business. And if you have a business or personal site, you'll want to know it's easy to run and it will stay online. At iWeb, your site is hosted on one of the most reliable networks in the world. Talk to a sales rep at iWeb.com. Use the promo code TechNightOwl for a special discount.
First game Attack of the Rockoids, and it was a critically acclaimed success. And now there is the coming of the Protectors. A former military intelligence man is contacted by a space woman in a dream. A dream that turns out to be a nightmare because evil forces on her distant planet are planning to conquer the Earth. This is gripping science fiction of the classic kind. Attack of the Rockoids and the coming of the Protectors. Find out more at Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids, Rockoids.com.
Gold is like nothing else on Earth. From the Romans through the Renaissance, from the Industrial Age to the Space Age, gold has weathered the test of time. For 6,000 years, gold has remained the ultimate store of wealth. According to the World Gold Council and the U.S. Mint, demand is at an all-time high. The stage is being set for the reemergence of gold as the common-sense alternative to a fiat paper currency that gets weaker every day. Midas Resources is proud to offer the hard-hitting report that arms you with the truth you need to protect you and your family from the Fed's plans for your hard-earned money. Don't gamble with your future. Call Midas Resources today and ask for your free copy of As Good as Gold. Call 1-800-686-2237 for the report the Fed hopes you'll never see. As Good as Gold can be yours by calling 800-686-2237. If you have ever thought about owning gold, you must read this report. Call Midas today at 800-686-2237.
What good is a Big Berkey water filter?
We get that question a lot here at BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. And in a word, the answer is protection. Protection from water main breaks, E. coli contamination, environmental chemical spills, pesticide runoff, chlorine taste and smell, and all forms of fluoride. Plus, Big Berkey water filters are the original gravity water filter system and most trusted on the market for a reason. Tested by multiple independent NSF EPA certified labs, they are the gold standard in water purification. At only 1.7 cents a gallon, a single set of filters can last for 5 to 10 years. That means big savings. Big Berkey, the one that's powerful enough to purify stagnant pond water. Get a Big Berkey today at BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. GCN listeners receive 5% off all ceramic filter systems. Visit our website or call 1-877-99-BERKEY. That's 877-99-BERKEY. Big Berkey Water Filters, for the love of clean water.
The knowledge of the ancients, tried and true, trusted herbs and extracts fused with the latest nutraceutical science. Introducing the all-new Ancient Defense Herbal Immunity Blend, crafted with over 14 key ancient herbs and extracts to supercharge and prepare your body for what experts admit is the most dangerous season of the year. We have rejected hundreds of other formulations in our quest to bring you what is simply the most powerful and comprehensive proprietary formula that we have ever created in the realm of herbal immunity. For the last 2 years, our team has been working with top doctors, nutritionists, and chemists to develop the ultimate nutraceutical formulation. Experience the benefits of combining over 14 ancient herbs and extracts with exciting new advances in nutraceutical science. Now is the time to secure Ancient Defense for you and your family. Visit AncientDefense.com or call 888-253-3139. That's AncientDefense.com.
We'd like to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And don't forget to visit our famous Paracast community forums at forum.theparacast.com.
Joining us in the Paracast this week is Dr. Benjamin Zeller. He's author of a new book called Heaven's Gate, America's UFO Religion. Ben, welcome to the Paracast.
Thank you for having me.
Before we get started here, because this is certainly an unusual subject to consider for a book, and certainly we know the reasons why one would write a book about it, because it's obviously a fascinating tale. But what is your background that led you in this direction to be interested in this sort of thing?
Sure. Well, my background is the study of American religious history and new religions in particular. But really what got me interested in the topic was Heaven's Gate itself. I was in college when the Heaven's Gate suicides occurred in 1997. I was actually taking a class. I was a religious studies major. I was taking a class on messianism and millennialism. We were looking at it in the historical context. We were looking at it in terms of ancient Near East, things like, you know, the early Christian movement, some of the mystery cults in Rome and Greece. But then right in front of my eyes here in the West Coast of America was a millennial messianic movement unfolding in spectacularly self-destructive fashion. And that's really what grabbed me. I really wanted to understand what this group and groups like it are about. That's really what got me interested in the study of American religion in particular.
Now, looking worldwide, we're talking here about a religion that ended up with people offing themselves.
Correct, yes.
Is there a history of much of that in any religious movement that you've studied?
There are relatively few examples, but there are several. Well, the ancient example that people often look to would be Masada. The Jewish rebels in Masada during the revolt against Rome in the first century, who rather than allow themselves to be captured, enslaved, raped, chose to commit suicide instead. That was during the revolt against Rome when the Second Temple fell in the first century. More recently, the Russian Old Believers was a group really started in the 19th century in Russia. They were a splinter group from the Orthodox Church. Several groups of them actually barricaded themselves within their churches and set fire to them to avoid having to become heretics in their mind by converting to the official faith. There are examples, and more recently the Solar Temple, of course, which occurred around the same time as Heaven's Gate. The Branch Davidians, there's a big debate over whether that was suicide or not, Jonestown. But certainly there are examples, relatively few and far between.
All right, let's look at the second connection here, UFOs. Do you have any personal interest in UFOs at all, or was it just largely in connection with this particular movement?
Well, my personal interest is in science fiction, actually. I grew up a sci-fi fan. I remember raiding my dad's bookshelf when I was a kid and picking out Asimov and Clark and reading, you know, all the great classics of science fiction. UFOs themselves, until I encountered Heaven's Gate, I saw them as sort of a part of sort of that whole milieu of sort of the speculation about the unknown and what's out there.
Okay, so you followed science fiction. You didn't take UFOs seriously then at all, I gather. And I mention this because of the fact that I'm one of those rare people interested in UFOs and interested in science fiction. I've even written science fiction stories with my son. And the reason that's kind of curious is you'd think there'd be a natural affinity for the two. But many times when you try to have people involved in science fiction also get involved in studying UFOs, whether they believe in them or not, you ended up with all sorts of conflicts.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't want to hear that. They were happy to hear that things can happen in fiction and any possibility can be explored, but not that there could possibly be a reality. But before we get into the Heaven's Gate story, then, after all this happened, did anything lead you to explore UFOs independently of this?
Well, yeah, after I began studying Heaven's Gate, I spent a lot of time looking at literature among UFO believers, both those who would put themselves within sort of the more scientific perspective, you know, investigators, as well as those who are contactees, claim more sort of religious or quasi-religious experience with extraterrestrial life or with UFOs. Yes, that's certainly, I did study that. You know, in terms of the existence of UFOs, I'd call myself an agnostic on it. I haven't seen convincing evidence one way or another. Certainly, I personally believe that there's life out there in the universe. To paraphrase one of my sort of academic heroes, Carl Sagan, if there isn't life out there, then it's a whole waste of space. I know whether they visit us or not. Well, that's an open question.
No, that's fair to say that. I'm not going to try to convince you of UFO reality. We want to look into this Heaven's Gate and see what's going on. So maybe you could tell our listeners here your exposure to this. Now, let me tell you, my background first is I first heard of the people involved in this, I guess going back to even the 70s, about these characters named Bo and Peep.
Mm-hmm.
And I just looked at that as being something funny.
Yeah, well, they meant it to be funny, actually. They used Guinea and Pig before they even used Bo and Peep. They had a real sense of humor about it. And then Tea and Dough was what they went with later on. Certainly, I mean, they saw their human lives, their human names as almost costumes which they were putting on. They identified themselves with what they called level above human, with outer space, and they really saw everything at the human level. At worst, an illusion; at best, sort of a theater or sort of a place for a classroom. But the names they used, no, they knew they were quite funny.
So at what point did something funny become something so serious that ends with people killing themselves?
Well, it was serious at the same time. One thing that some ex-members have told me, and I've interviewed several ex-members, is that there really was a sense of humor within the group, though they were quite serious as well. They were aware that outsiders thought they were somewhat crazy. They were aware that they were widely dismissed, and they sort of poked fun at themselves in that way. But they were serious throughout, and from the beginning of Heaven's Gate in the 1970s, there's different dates for when it began, either 74 or 75, when the two founders met, or 76, 77, when they first got some significant converts. But going back to the mid-70s, from the beginning, they were serious that they wanted to figure out the truth of the universe, the truth of religion, the truth of science, the truth of UFOs, the truth of the Bible. It was a very serious pursuit for them and those who followed them.
Chris, maybe you should explain how you got peripherally involved in some of this in more detail for Ben.
Sure. You know, Ben, like Gene, I remember just kind of faintly. I didn't really pay much attention, but I remember reading articles about Applewhite and his wife back in the 70s. And, you know, I did have a little bit of knowledge about them. But then when they went underground for almost 18 years, if I remember correctly, you know, they faded away from the public arena. And I happened to be speaking at a conference in Eureka Springs in April of 1996. And instead of going off to the conference center to listen to the talks, I was hanging out with a couple of other researchers and investigators in the hospitality suite. Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden, there's a knock at the door, and these 12 people trooped in, stating that the sheep have returned. And it looked like something out of Central Casting. Everyone looked different. There was a doctor, an athlete, a construction worker. They all had very distinctive looks, and nobody looked the same. And it was quite bizarre. It was like it was like Central Casting had sent 12 different people for 12 different parts, and they all walked in and sat down. And I looked over at my friend Tom Adams, who had followed this cult extensively, had a huge file on them, had actually followed them around for a while, and was reporting on their activities in the 70s, and he knew immediately who they were.
Let's go into that in more detail, Chris O'Brien's experience with the early days of Heaven's Gate. We have Dr. Ben Zeller joining us. The book is called Heaven's Gate, with Gene and Chris. You're in
the Paracast.
You're listening to GCN, proudly sponsored by UnseenNow.com. Lock down your digital life at UnseenNow.com. This is GCN.
Is there a secret UFO agenda? Do strange creatures from the darkest corners of the mind roam the earth? Is there evidence for mind control, time travel, or devious government conspiracies? Find out the inside scoop on the latest conspiracies, paranormal activity, and Freudian phenomena when you subscribe to Tim Beckley's Conspiracy Journal. It's jam-packed with stories, special book and DVD promotions, and the best news, it's absolutely free, sent right to your mailbox. Plus, a bonus free email newsletter sent out every Friday. Simply send an email with your name and address to Mr. UFO at webtv.net. That's Mr. UFO at webtv.net. Find out what they don't want you to know.
You pick up the receiver. With your heart racing and sweat dripping from your forehead, you finally muster the courage to dial the number to call into your favorite talk radio show. It rings once, twice, and then...
Hello, it's GCN. What's your name and the state you're calling from?
Surprised you got through, you squeak out.
Jason from Minnesota.
Please hold.
As you patiently wait for your turn, you begin to daydream about being a famous talk radio host and what it would be like to have your own show.
Jason from Minnesota, you're up.
Millions of loyal listeners worldwide waiting to call and talk to you.
Caller, are you there?
Cheering crowds surround you, calling out your name.
Jerry Stern.
You win once. Twice. Okay, we gotta move on to the next caller.
You blew it.
Huh? Wait. No!
Interact with the host you're listening to right now online at gcnlive.com. Click on the community link. Engage with other listeners. Ask questions. Start debates. Don't agree with the host? Let them know. Be a part of the community at gcnlive.com.
This alert just came in. This special announcement is for business owners and leaders of organizations who've been waiting for the right time to build. General Steel has made it impossible to wait any longer with rock-bottom prices that could save you thousands. That's right, General Steel, America's leader in pre-engineered structures, is offering buildings at prices you will never see again. Don't miss these prices. A 50 by 100 for $35,000. You heard right. That's 5,000 square feet for $35,000. Manufacturers, if you need a larger building, try a 100 by 100 commercial building for $129,000. You can't afford to rent with these prices. Imagine a 70 by 100 foot church building for under $69,000. With the economy improving and interest rates still at historic lows, you can't afford to wait. So call 866-91-STEEL. Lock in your price now. Call 866-91-STEEL. That's 866-917-8335.
For over 5 years, you've been hearing about the Berkey guy, so you may know a few things about him. For example, you are well aware of the superior quality and effectiveness of Berkey water filters and accessories. But did you know the Berkeys have had independent lab tests done to prove just how effective they are? It's true, and he can email you the test results. Just visit GoBerkey.com. You may also know that the Berkey guy has helped tens of thousands of people get better prepared. Now here's something you may not know. GoBerkey.com has amazing specials and deals all the time on a wide variety of survival and preparedness products. Most ready to ship same day. Visit the Berkey guy at GoBerkey.com and be sure to click the red Products on Sale Now button. You can always call toll-free 877-886-3653. Again, that's 877-886-3653. GoBerkey.com, home of the Berkey guy.
Hi, this is Ted Phillips, listening to the Paracast, and it's as good as it gets, believe me.
We'll have a lot to say on this episode and other subjects in our After the Paracast podcast, which goes up the same day as the podcast version of this show. To get a copy, you join the Paracast Plus at plus.theparacast.com, plus.theparacast.com. It's $5 a month, $50 a year for After the Paracast Plus the ad-free version of this show. The book is Heaven's Gate. The author is Dr. Benjamin Zeller, and Chris is telling you about his early involvement with the people involved in this cult. Chris?
I wouldn't say there was involvement there. I did keep them at arm's length. Just to recap, I was sitting in the hospitality suite at the Eureka Springs UFO conference in the spring of 1996. 12 people walked in. As soon as they walked in, one thing that we noticed that was quite actually quite strange. We had a beautiful spring, you know, Ozarks day that morning, and there wasn't a cloud in the sky. And it was very strange that as soon as they arrived, this big thunderhead started to form right over Eureka Springs. And during the hour or so that I was in the room with these people before they left, it was about 45 minutes to an hour, a pretty intense lightning storm broke out, and there was kind of a reddish-colored lightning, which I'd never seen before or since. As a little side note to this, there was something quite strange about the storm, and I'll tell you what, we actually researched the storm later, the following that evening. So anyway, these people are all sitting around in this hospitality suite, and they're telling about that they had just come out. They had given a public presentation the night before in Fort Smith, and that they were coming up here to meet folks at the Congress or at the Lou Farish's UFO Eureka Springs Conference. And as it turns out, they actually were able to I guess, bring somebody with them away from the conference. They converted somebody at the conference, and this became quite a controversy the following day when they showed back up, and this woman left with them. There was almost a physical altercation between her friends and the Applewhite group. But she did end up leaving with them and just turning her back on her family and her husband. So I'm not sure when they actually met her or what they said to her to indoctrinate her to the point where she was enlisted as one of the members. But going back to that afternoon when they were sitting around the room, when they heard that I was lived in Crestone, Colorado, which is kind of an aspiring little new age town in south central Colorado. It has a reputation for a lot of the world's unbroken spiritual lineages are represented there. When they heard this, they were very insistent on getting my contact information. And for the next year, every few weeks, every month or two, they were trying to contact me to try to get them into Crestone so that they could speak there. And I kept putting them off and putting them off. And the more I put them off, the more letters Applewhite would write to me, the more videotapes he would send. I have a box full of stuff that was sent to me over that particular time period, the year prior to the Rancho Santa Fe fiasco. But one thing that really struck me about these people is how normal they seemed. They didn't seem loony, crazy. They seemed very grounded, down to earth. None of them really seemed like they had any sort of obvious issues, mental, spiritual, or otherwise. And I was struck by their normalcy. Knowing a little bit about them, of course, the last thing I wanted to do was set them up for a talk in my town so that they could try to recruit people. But I did actually I had a dialogue with Applewhite, over the ensuing months. And it wasn't until, I really got to know him a little better, over the phone that I really realized that this guy was, he was out there. He definitely was. And I still have these old VHS videotapes of him and his just going on and on and on about their philosophy and stuff. But that's one of the reasons why when I saw your book had come out that I wanted to get you on the show to get a little bit more insight into their process, what their belief system was about. How it evolved over time. Heaven's Gate is how we know the group now, but they had several different names in their various incarnations. And I really like to get into this whole idea of beliefs surrounding science fiction subjects, UFOs, and that sort of thing, and how this may end up being fairly common here as we get further into the 21st century. Sorry, I'm monopolizing the show here at this point, but I wanted to let you know that I actually did have quite a bit of contact with them that year prior to their suicides.
And I want to connect with something you said, which is their normalcy. That's always been what's so interesting to me about this group, is that in some ways they're so normal. The ex-members who I've spoken with and interviewed, the written statements or the video statements from members before they committed suicides, these people all come off as very, very normal. Even their beliefs, in fact, about transcending the planet, about sort of perfecting the human soul, about achieving sort of salvation after this life. That's pretty normal stuff. Most Americans claim some sort of belief about life after death and about wanting to have some sort of eternal life, wanting to achieve some sort of state of higher consciousness. In some ways, they're very normal. On the other hand, some of what they did certainly was very extreme. And that's exactly what's so interesting about this group.
One thing that you point out in the book that I found fascinating is the fact that Applewhite was actually the son of a Pentecostal minister, was it? Or
Presbyterian, actually.
Presbyterian minister. And that much of their dogma and beliefs had a real sense of Protestantism. There was this kind of apocryphal version of it, but it was very Christian-based at its core, wasn't it?
Yeah, I'm definitely convinced of that. There is a debate within the academic community over this, but I'm convinced that that basically what they did is they took a Christian set of basic doctrines and texts, and they read it through a lens which was influenced by ufology, by the New Age movement, by astrology. But at their foundational core, from beginning to end, what they were about was basically a Christian message about interpreting the Bible, about trying to understand who Jesus was and who God was and the nature of the human soul and how to transcend this earth and achieve a heavenly paradise. And they basically went back to the Bible time and time again as source and as proof text throughout their history.
The big question here is, how does a simple belief become something where such drastic conclusion emerges?
The conclusion of suicide, you mean?
Yes.
They rejected ultimately the earth. They rejected the body. When they first began, they were intent on the belief that you had to transcend the planet in bodily form. They were actually asked at one of their very first public meetings in Walport, Oregon, really the first time they hit the press after a large number of people joined. They were asked, can you do this when you're dead? And they said, no, you have to bring your body. And the reason they believed this is they believed in the rapture in the classic Christian sense, the classic fundamentalist Christian Protestant sense, that is, which is that Jesus will meet the believers midair and bring them into heaven. That's based on a particular interpretation of the Bible, which became very popular in late 19th, early 20th century American Protestantism. So this idea of the rapture, which is you have to meet Jesus midair in your body. Well, what they added to that was Jesus was in a UFO. So you're going to meet Jesus in the UFO. You're going to be lifted up with some sort of technology and meet Jesus and the UFO sort of hovering in the atmosphere. They were very clear. It's in the atmosphere. And then you and your body and Jesus are going to go on to the next level. And through the technology of the next level, your human body would become transformed, metamorphosized, to use their language, into a newly perfected next level, that is heavenly outer space extraterrestrial body. That was what they began with. When in 1984, Bonnie Lou Nettles, the co-founder of Heaven's Gate, died, and her body lay there decomposing and eventually had to be disposed of like any other human body, they fundamentally had to rethink their theology because this really shook them to the core. The body of Nettles, that is T, as she went, or Peep, didn't go anywhere. So therefore, they instead shifted their idea to the soul. That is the soul which will transcend the earth.
Let's transcend this, folks. We've got Dr. Benjamin Zeller with us, with Gene and Chris. You're in
the Paracast.
Great minds think alike. The network for the independent minded. The Genesis Communications Network. GCN.
Attack of the Rockoids has been well received by critics and readers alike. It's a thrill-a-minute story you'll never forget. A former U.S. military intelligence officer is haunted by intense dreams about a beautiful woman pleading for his help after a terrible battle in outer space. But the dreams turn out to be true and thrust him into a telepathic love affair with a woman whose faraway planet is intent on destroying the Earth. And now the gripping tale continues in The Coming of the Protectors. It's the second book of the Rockoids trilogy, a galaxy-spanning adventure that pits our hapless heroes against powerful, fanatical enemies that threaten the lives of freedom-loving beings everywhere. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors, classic science fiction at its best, available now. For more details, visit Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids.com.
The experts at Web.com want to build your business a successful website for free, just like we did for these current Web.com customers.
We've used and looked at other website designers, but there's nobody better than Web.com.
Web.com can build your website in as little as 7 days free. Plus, we'll promote it on all the major search engines like Google, Yahoo, and Bing. If after 30 days you're happy, we'll continue to provide promotion, hosting, support, and maintenance, all for one low monthly fee. If not, cancel and pay nothing.
If you're in business today and you don't have a web presence, you won't be taken seriously.
Call right now and you'll also get a free .com or .net domain name for your new website powered by VeriSign, the world's leading domain name provider.
Call 800-297-0154. That's 800-297-0154.
No upfront charge for site build, after which ongoing fees apply. Rights to site are relinquished when canceled. Domain included during active service, after which fees apply.
That's 800-297-0154.
The knowledge of the ancients, tried and true, trusted herbs and extracts fused with the latest nutraceutical science. Introducing the all-new Ancient Defense Herbal Immunity Blend, crafted with over 14 key ancient herbs and extracts to supercharge and prepare your body for what experts admit is the most dangerous season of the year. We have rejected hundreds of other formulations in our quest to bring you what is simply the most powerful and comprehensive proprietary formula that we have ever created in the realm of herbal immunity. For the last 2 years, our team has been working with top doctors, nutritionists, and chemists to develop the ultimate nutraceutical formulation. Experience the benefits of combining over 14 ancient herbs and extracts with exciting new advances in nutraceutical science. Now is the time to secure Ancient Defense for you and your family. Visit AncientDefense.com or call 888-253-3139. That's AncientDefense.com.
Time waits for no one. That's why you should hurry to not miss the Freeze Dry Guy's end-of-year case-lot sale. Go to freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-3663 to receive 20 to 25% off Mountain House freeze-dried foods. Mountain House, the gold standard in long-term storage products, include real freeze-dried meats, entrees, eggs, fruits, and vegetables. Yes, 20 to 25% off now. Also receive 30% off other selected Mountain House foods and receive 30% off selected Packaway brand dehydrated foods. Just call 866-404-3663 and ask for the Freeze Dry Guy. Plus, long-range patrol ration eggs and ham at superb discounts. But these are extremely hard to find and nearly gone, so call today. Ask about our LRP ice cream bars, too. Some items limited to stock on hand. And remember, the Freeze Dry Guy pays for shipping to your door within the lower 48 states. Order now. Don't miss out on the Freeze Dry Guy's end-of-year case-lot sale. Call 866-404-3663 or visit freezedryguy.com.
This is Jacques Vallée. You're listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
Now we ascend back into the response to that question. So seeing the physical body there, it was about the soul ascending, but that's part of traditional religion, isn't it?
That's correct. But what they did is they took it in a very radical direction. It became only the soul. It's just the soul. The body is just a container, a vehicle, a vessel. The body became ultimately worthless to them. And that's what opened the door towards, well, at first monasticism, but later on suicide. The idea that this body is just a container for the soul. Now, that is a belief within some Christian traditions. And in fact, the entire history of martyrology within the Christian church is based on the same premise. The idea that this body is temporary. This body is earthly. What matters is the soul. Go all the way back to the first century. You find Christians saying the same thing. That's why Christians were agreed to be martyred. Why they volunteered to be thrown in with the lions. The idea is that you're not this body. All Heaven's Gate did was take this to its radical 20th century next step. That is suicide.
And isn't that also what we see terrorists do? They believe that somehow if they commit some kind of suicide in performing some kind of act, that they will basically benefit in the afterlife.
Without a doubt. If we're talking about jihadists, for example.
Yeah. 50 virgins.
The whole idea is it's sort of this millennialism that we're in the last days, that something special is happening, that we're willing to take ultimate radical steps. Because most people who accept the premise that they're the soul but not the body aren't willing to commit suicide. What it takes is for people to think that there's a special circumstance happening. For Heaven's Gate, that was millennialism, the idea that we're in the end of time. And it was then the appearance of Hellbop Comet, which really drove them to make that final choice.
Tell us more about the comet, because a lot of you out there, listeners, remember when that happened. Some are very young and don't remember. Where does Hale-Bopp Comet get in connection with this whole episode?
Well, the members of Heaven's Gate always look to the skies for guidance. They began with astrology, actually. Bonnie Lou Nettles, co-founder of the group, led an astrology group in Houston. Marshall Herb Applewhite, the other co-founder, he was involved with and interested in astrology. According to his story of how they met, one of the first things they did is Nettles did his chart for him. So they were always looking to the sky for guidance. When they actually began, there was a particular comet, I'm blanking on the name, which was overhead. So they saw comets as connected to their origin. So
it was Cahootek.
Yeah, it was Kahootech. Yeah, exactly. It was Kahootech. Yeah. So when Hellbop came, they were already attuned to looking towards the heaven. And then there was the Art Bell issue. There was the question of whether there was a companion to Hellbop. So some of your listeners, if they're younger, may not know the whole story here.
Now, let me just say this here. Of course, Art Bell is one of the pioneer people involved in paranormal radio.
Yeah.
He had the Coast to Coast AM show. He got his influence from the late Long John Neville, who started out as a paranormal talk show host back in the 1950s and 60s. In any case, Art Bell, as a result of his connection with this, and I'm going to ask you then to explain it in more detail,
sure.
Rated a membership in the Hall of Shame for the UFOWatchdog.com website because of this. So how did Art Bell get connected? He's just a talk show host.
Well, yeah, it wasn't really his fault. What he did is he publicized. There were different individuals who claimed that they saw a something following Hellbop Comet, and the something varied depending on who was photographing it or engaged in various practices trying to see what it was. On sort of the more scientific side, there were people who claimed that they had photographed something, a UFO of some sort, following Hellbop. On the more sort of new age side, there were those who claimed that through astral projection or remote viewing, they had actually seen what this was. And the claims varied from a more conventional flying saucer style UFO to something the size of an entire planet following the comet. But there was wide speculation that something was following it. And all that Art Bell really did is he publicized these various callers who called in and claimed that they saw this or saw that or photographed this or photographed that. The members of Heaven's Gate were intrigued by this. I mean, they were always fascinated by the paranormal, by ufology, by astrology. So they were already attuned to these sort of ideas. Ultimately, they never came down claiming, yes, there was a companion. They actually said it was irrelevant whether there was a companion or not. But what mattered to them is the whole world was looking to the sky, was looking to Hellbop. The whole world was also now attuned to the sky, and this was their chance to show the world that their message was true, that we are not our bodies, that they were going to leave their bodies and join the next level. And while everyone was watching, they had our attention, as indeed they did. This was about publicity in some ways.
Now, comets in general have inspired a lot of mysticism, haven't they?
Certainly, without a doubt. If you go look back to the founding of the country, Cotton Mather, he was a third generation Puritan in New England. He actually wrote extensively about comets. In the 19th century, during the preaching of William Miller, who was one of the leading 19th century evangelists, founded the Adventist movement. And there was a comet overhead, which was integral to his preaching that the end of the world was nigh. If you go back to the Middle Ages, there's several examples as well. Certainly, comets have long intrigued the religious imagination and been seen as symbols of divine action.
Now, I recall here also that there was a lot of mysticism around Halley's Comet, that things were supposed to happen, and they never seemed to happen.
No, that was part of sort of the more general New Age milieu and sort of these the hopes that a New Age was dawning and the comet represented an advent of that. It was much more of what my friend and colleague Kathy Wessinger would call progressive millennialism, the idea that a new wonderful age is dawning that will sort of slide into it, and the comet inaugurated it. There were relatively few catastrophic groups associated with Halley.
All right, let's get tighter on the UFO connection here. Because obviously we have the modern UFO enigma. Some people call it a myth. Whatever you think about it, and we take the position something's going on that's genuine. The modern UFO era begins in the late 40s. And you've had serious people interested in the subject, believing that we're looking into a scientific mystery, we're being visited by people from other worlds, or whatever it is, it's a mystery that scientists should look at and determine the outcome. We have other people who think of UFOs as a messenger. Maybe E.T. is here to warn us of the consequences of our handling rather unfavorably of natural resources, global warming, nuclear proliferation, whatever. Some people say that the Space Brothers are here to help us, to get us out of this mess, and maybe recruit a number of people to be part of this new movement. And it sounds to me like Heaven's Gate is part of the latter.
Yes, with influence from the formers as well. Nettles, the co-founder, was briefly a member of the Houston Theosophical Association, part of the Theosophical Society of America. And their They're, you know, they, along with the IM movement and several other sort of splinters out of theosophy, are much more part of the sort of that space brothers approach. The idea that there are, you hear the terms vary, the ascended masters, the great white brotherhood, the space brothers, that they are out there and they're there to guide us. So they do visit us in one way or another, either through, through channeling, or through actual visitations on board spacecraft, or through other means that they're in communication with us to guide us and to help us. That is part of the background that Nettles brought to the formation of Heaven's Gate. Nettles, also known as Peep or T within the movement. I tend to use their birth names. But she brought that with her. But they were intensely interested, as I said, both in astrology but also ufology. They were interested in questions about the Roswell crash. They were interested in questions about government conspiracies. They were interested in also Christian millennialism and how these might possibly connect. They're not the first group of Christian thinkers to try to connect Christianity and either ufology or belief in contactees. There's certainly other examples. But yes, they did bring all of these different approaches together and eventually come to the conclusion that the members of the evolutionary level above human, or the next level, had come to Earth basically to recruit.
Of course, if we're trying to be logical about such things, I always wonder why advanced beings would ever care about what we do or why we do it. It doesn't matter what you think about UFOs. Why would they give a damn?
For members of Heaven's Gate, because they were benevolent. The example they used was that we are the garden and they are the gardeners. And just as a gardener hopefully is benevolent towards his or her garden, so too are the extraterrestrials towards us. Most people don't plant a garden and ignore it, or, you know, spray Roundup all over it, unless they have to. Most people plant a garden and carefully prune it and take care of it and harvest from it. And that to them was the proper metaphor for our planet and for us as a species, that we are the produce of the garden, basically. And the extraterrestrials who are part of the evolutionary level above human are the gardeners.
You know, that implies a couple of other things that I would like to get into with you, Ben Zeller, in our next segment. But in the meantime, the book is called Heaven's Gate, America's UFO Religion. And this is a class act. And this book is well written, carefully researched. You really should take a look at it. With Gene and Chris, you're in
the Paracast.
You're listening to GCN, proudly sponsored by UnseenNow.com. Lock down your digital life at UnseenNow.com. This is GCN.
This is Dan Pilla. Do you owe the IRS money you can't pay? Are tax debts crippling you? I've defended people from the IRS for over 30 years. I've helped thousands, and I can help you too. I wrote the book on IRS settlement, and I'm telling you, there's no such thing as a hopeless case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX to finally get free of IRS debt. With the IRS's new programs, there's never been a better time to solve your problem. Call 800-34-NO-TAX. That's 800-34-NO-TAX, or my website, danpilla.com.
We the people grow cotton, weave fabric, engrave ink, embed strips and fibers to protect from counterfeit and carting to a private bank, having it lent back at interest, forcing taxes to service debt. This capitalism, or was Jefferson correct when stating a central bank issuing the public currency is a greater menace to the liberties of the people than a standing army? Hi, Ted Anderson. I'm placing a free silver dollar in a book that explains our monetary system. Call for your copy, 800-686-2237. It's time to understand the system. Call 800-686-2237. That's 800-686-2237.
Don't complain about your cable bill going up and up and up. Do something about it. Grab a pencil and jot down this special number. 1-855-905-MYTV. The more cable TV rates go up, the better digital satellite TV looks. Say goodbye to the cable guy and get more of your favorite channels in 100% digital quality for less money. Call 1-855-905-MYTV. Sign up for packages starting as low as $19.99, and there's no equipment to buy. You get free HD TV upgrade, a free DVR upgrade, and free professional installation. You control what you watch, when you watch it. Record your favorite shows. Pause and rewind live TV. Even skip the commercials. Watch local channels too. At just $19.99, what are you waiting for? Pull out your major credit or debit card. Call 1-855-905-MYTV. 1-855-905-MYTV. Say goodbye to the cable guy. Cut costs and get more. 1-855-905-MYTV. 1-855-905-MYTV.